Good morning. Thank you, worship team. The scripture reading today will be from Matthew 22, chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. That's Matthew 22, 1 to 14. I think that's on page 957 in your pew Bibles. I'll be reading from the ESV, English Standard Version. Before I do that, I'd like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us just this space that we can worship you safely and freely. God, we thank you for bringing every one of your members here today. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us, Lord, that you'd give us hearts of flesh rather than hearts of stone, that our ears would listen to what you have to say to us through your word. God, I also pray for Pastor Chris as he shares the word with us. Pray that you'd give him courage and grace as well, Lord, and again, that we would hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 22, 1 to 14. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited are not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get here without wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, cast him out into the darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the reading of God's word.
Let me pray once again. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this parable of the wedding banquet and the invitations that are given. We thank you for revealing your grace to us in this, but also warning us in this parable. Lord, help us to receive your word with faith and with hope and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the most powerful secular songs that I can think of, at least powerful to me as a parent, is the song from the 1970s, a little bit before my time, the song "Cats in the Cradle." I don't know how many people know that song from the 1970s. That's good. A few people. I'm sure lots of you know it. If you hear it, you might recognize it. "Cats in the Cradle." This song is almost haunting. And I say that because it expresses the perspective of a parent who has deep regrets about the missed opportunities that he had. It's a song written from the perspective of a father. And I'll just remind you of what the song is about. I'll read to you some of the lyrics. The father speaking here, he says, "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, 'I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you.'" And the chorus says, "The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then." The next stanza, the next section of the song goes on. As the child grows up, he says, "My son turned 10. Just the other day. He said, 'Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?' I said, 'Not today. I got a lot to do,' he said. 'That's okay.' And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. It said, 'I'm going to be like him. Yeah, I know I'm going to be like him. Just sorry, I'm emotional about that. Pardon me, catch my emotions here. You can imagine as a parent grows up and they see their kids grow up, they think, wow, this just goes so fast. The song continues, the child grows up, goes to college. He says, he came home from college just the other day. So much just like a man, I said. Son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? And then he shook his head. He said with a smile, well, Dad, what I'd really like is to borrow the keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And so the song continues. The young man in college is too busy now. And then as the song continues at the end, the man's old. And he kind of calls up his son, but the son basically talks on the phone. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. The father's saying to the son, I'd like to see you now. But the son simply says, it's been sure nice talking to you, Dad. And as I hung up the phone, you see, the son continued, you see, my job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. I have a lot to do, Dad, but it's sure nice talking to you. And the father at the end says, look, as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me, my boy was just like me. And now it's the role reversal, right? Now it's the father really wishing he could spend more time with his son. And it's the son saying, no, I'm busy. And so it's a powerful song, right? And pardon my emotions. Yeah. But I think it touches a nerve for parents. Whether you consider yourself to be doing a good job as a parent or not, however you view yourself, even if you feel like, hey, my family life is going really well, that's great, praise God. It's still a powerful message and warning, isn't it, that song communicates. And I think that there's something valuable in warnings, because that's what that song is, right? It's a warning. Don't neglect the most important relationships around you. Don't neglect those most important relationships. And don't treat the kindness of your loved ones as if it didn't really matter. Don't treat the kindness of your loved ones as if it was just something you can put off and ignore. And so there's a powerful lesson in that warning, that song. And what Jesus does for us today in our scripture reading is he gives us a kind warning about a relationship that's much more important even than our earthly relationships. All of our earthly relationships are just for a time in this world. Life changes, situations change. But Jesus has come into this world to show us what it's like to be part of the family of God and to bring us into the family of God. And what Jesus does in the parable of the wedding banquet that we're reading today is he explains to us about the grace of God and the kindness of God that invites us. Just like the little child inviting his father in that song was inviting his dad, come and play, come and spend time with me, come, let's do things together. And that was an expression of such pure kindness and love. God has an even more pure kindness and grace that he expresses. And Jesus, in this parable of the wedding feast, describes God's grace overflowing to all kinds of people. And at the same time, there's a warning involved, because the kindness of God needs to be received. It needs to be responded to in the right way. And so this parable of the wedding feast warns us about the danger of neglecting our most important opportunities and our most important relationships, and the danger of ignoring the kindness of God. That's what this parable of the wedding feast is all about. And so the good news is that Jesus has come to address this problem. We are all people who have a tendency to ignore or to think lightly about the grace of God, to think lightly of the kindness of God, and to push off our most important responsibilities. We are all people like this who tend to push off the most important things. And yet God has graciously come into this world. Jesus has come. And in this parable is designed to rescue us. This parable is designed to rescue us from our own tendency to push off the kindness of God and to neglect the most important things. And it serves in this way. First of all, the nature of God's kindness is revealed in this parable. What is God's kindness? Well, this parable gives us some insight into that. Secondly, this parable shows us how different people mistreat the kindness of God. It doesn't always look the same way. When people are ignoring God's grace or pushing away God's grace, it doesn't always look the same. There are different ways that people do this. And finally, this parable clearly gives a warning because God judges in the end of this parable. And you can't avoid or ignore that part of the parable. There are serious consequences when people push off the kindness of God and ignore the grace of God and ignore the opportunities that God gives them. There are serious consequences in this parable. And so all of these things are in the parable for a purpose to rescue us from our own tendencies to push away God's grace. And so I pray that God would give us receptive hearts today and to really think about it. Let's think first of all about the nature of God's kindness. Because this is something wonderful and interesting to look at. When Jesus told the parable of the wedding banquet here in Matthew chapter 22, you can see there in verse 2, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." And this is the reason that the parable goes on to explain the king is inviting people to come. You see, Jesus didn't say, look, the kingdom of heaven is like a lonely man who just wanted friends, and so he invited friends to come, and nobody came. That would be sad. And maybe you could draw out some insight from that, but that's not what the parable is about, right? Sometimes when people think of the kindness of God, they have a wrong view of God, and that's the problem. This parable is designed to change the way we think of God and the way we think of his kindness. And for one thing, God's kindness is not an expression of his neediness or his weakness. I mean, we all know what kindness looks like when it comes from a place of need and weakness, right? And we should be sensitive to that. I'm not suggesting to look down on this, but just give an illustration. It happens to me at least every week, probably happens to you. I get a phone call, and someone's speaking very kindly to me on the phone, and they're offering me some kind of thing. Can we come to your house, and we have a free offer for you? Well, that's nice, they're being kind, but I know that they really want to sell me something, and I know that this is their job. Maybe they're getting paid minimum wage to make phone calls and whatever. I know that this kindness is coming from a need or a desire for them to make money or their business to make money, right? And we're used to that kind of kindness. Kindness that comes from a place of need or desire to fill a need. Just doing my job, you know? But God's kindness is not like that. God doesn't have any needs. This is a parable about a king, and he has, in this parable, unlimited resources. This king was able to send out servants to personally invite people. And when those servants were rejected, he sent out other servants. And when those servants were killed, he sent out more servants. He has unlimited servants in this parable. Unlimited resources. He talks about a feast there, and he talks about the different kinds of food to emphasize how great are his riches. And he's inviting people to take part in a great feast. This is a wealthy, generous king who is not needy at all. And again, this parable then shows us God's kindness isn't based on his neediness. It's not based on his loneliness or neediness. In fact, it is the overflow of his love for his son. That is what causes him to invite people. And that's what you do at a wedding feast, right? At a wedding banquet. Why do people invite like 100 or 200 people to their wedding? Is it because they're lonely? No. It's because they have joy. It's a wedding. Think about how beautiful it is when a wedding banquet takes place. You know, assuming a good, healthy situation, okay? Think of how good and beautiful it is. There are two people who are in love, and they've committed themselves to one another for the rest of their lives, right? They have such love expressed, and their family's happy about it. And so why do they invite other people to come? It's because they want to celebrate this great love. They have good news that they want to share. They have something good and precious that they rejoice in, and they want to share that. That's the nature of real Christian joy, right? And that's the nature of the gospel. There's good news. There's something that is worthy of love and celebration. Jesus has come. And so in this parable, he talks about the Father preparing a wedding banquet for his Son, whom he loves. No doubt this was part of the motivation in Jesus' heart. Notice, Jesus spoke this parable in the final week before he went to the cross. Jesus was preparing to go to the cross. And this parable was in his mind and in his heart. He knew that his Father loved him. He knew that his death would not be in vain. He knew that out of the overflow of the Father's love for him, as he went to give himself on the cross, a new covenant would be established, and a wedding feast would be given in his honor, and all kinds of people would be invited to partake of the blessings of Christ after the resurrection. This is what motivated Jesus to go and to give himself on the cross. He knew the Father's love for the Son, and he knew out of the abundance of that love would overflow into kindness for others. So this shows us something of the nature of God's kindness. When you think of God's kindness and the good news of the gospel, know that this is the overflow of what Jesus has done. Jesus has come, the one who is beloved of God, the sinless one. From everlasting to everlasting, he has been loved by the Father. And out of the overflow of that is an invitation to come, to have faith in him, to have fellowship with him. Again, so it's not kindness based on need or loneliness, and it's not kindness that's a matter of indifference either. The king didn't send out servants to say, here are samples. Here, I've got samples of the wedding food. Take it or leave it. I mean, there's no big deal. If you don't want it, that's fine. Moving on. The parable doesn't say, look, they went out and they said, well, you know what? We're having a feast over there. Do you want to go? No, that's fine. No problem. End of the parable. That's not how it goes, right? Because that would express a matter of indifference or, you know, just you be you. That's the way that the world thinks of kindness, isn't it? In very many ways, the world says, what's kindness? Just you be you. Like, I don't want to get in your way. I don't want to tell you what to do. I don't want to tell you how to think or how to live. And so you be you and let me be me, and that's kindness. But that's not the kindness of God in this parable, is it? That's not the kindness of God that Jesus was explaining here. The king doesn't just send out a message that's just, hey guys, you be you. You want to come to the feast? You don't want to? That, whatever, doesn't matter. No, this king wants something. He wants to celebrate because he loves someone. Real kindness is rooted in a love that wants what's best for others. Real kindness is rooted in a love that wants what is absolutely the best. And God's kindness is the overflow of his desire for us to have fellowship with Jesus, the Son. To have a place in the royal family, so to speak. To have a place of honor and blessing. And so this parable shows us that God's kindness is not indifference or just you be you. It's come and love that which God loves. That's what a wedding invitation is, if you think of it. You know that awkward feeling when you're invited to a wedding and you don't really want to go? You know that feeling? Why is there an awkward feeling when you're invited to something and you don't want to go and you have to be polite? Well, it's because you don't really care about the thing that that person really cares about. And you feel a little bit guilty about that, right? You know, there's a little bit of disconnect when you're invited to something and they're so happy about it. They're celebrating. They want you to be there. And you're like, I don't really want to. There's a disconnect in the relationship. And what this parable is exposing is that there's a disconnect between people and God. God cares so deeply about his beloved Son. God cares so deeply about his glory and honor. And he wants people to love the Son whom he loves. And that's the basis of why he's inviting people to come. And so we see something of the nature of God's kindness. It's the overflow of his love for his Son. And then this parable goes on to show us then how people in different ways fail to honor God's kindness. There are many ways that people fail to honor the kindness of God. In this parable, Jesus explains, after the banquet is prepared, he sent his servants to those who were invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But they refused to come. Now, already, that's a little bit of a surprising part of the story, right? They just refused, apparently all of them in the parable. And so, God in his kindness, he is persistent in his kindness. And the next people, it says, he sent out his servants, and they said, "Tell those who are invited that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But how did the people respond? Look at verse 5. Matthew 22, verse 5. "But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business." That's how many people responded. And so this parable is illustrating to us the problem or the danger of being indifferent or just caring more about other things. And one reason why many people never enter a relationship with Jesus or a real relationship of faith and repentance is that they're simply interested in other things, right? You might talk to them about your faith and they say, "Oh, that's nice, but you know, that's not for me. I'm interested in other things. I have other hobbies, I have other interests that are more important to me." To the people in the parable, they just wanted to go about their business, go to their farms and do their thing. And that is one way that people fail to actually honor the kindness of God. They might be nice people, but they're not actually responding to God the way that he would want them to. And of course, in this parable, not much is said about these people. That's not the main point of the parable, to talk about the careless ones, the indifferent ones. But they don't end up in the wedding banquet, do they? Logically, they didn't want to be there, so they're not going to be there. Now, another way that people fail to honor the kindness of God is that they get angry or offended. In verse 6, the rest of the people who were invited, they seized his servants. And they mistreated them, and they killed them. Whoa, how did that escalate so quickly, right? Again, as Jesus told this parable, the people would have been a little bit surprised. Wait, what? The king sets up a wedding banquet, offers this free invitation, offers it again, and then people not only ignore it, but some people abuse the messengers and kill the messengers? How does that even make sense? And you see, the point of this is Jesus is illustrating the history of Israel. And he's not just making up an odd story. He's explaining this is literally, historically, what has happened. God has given his word of warning, but also a word of salvation offered through the prophets, throughout history, throughout the books of the Bible, and throughout the historical servants of God, the preachers and the prophets. God's word went forth, but many of them were persecuted. Many of the prophets were killed for their faith. Many of Jesus' first messengers were killed for their faith. And Jesus is simply illustrating this parable. This is what has happened. As irrational as it might seem, God has expressed kindness and invited people to celebrate his Son, and people have turned on the messengers. And so obviously, what's going on? If somebody's going to kill the messenger of a king with the good news that they come to bring to them, that person is offended. They don't want to be under the rule of that king. They don't want that king to tell them where they should go and what they should do and who they should give their allegiance to. They want to rule their own lives and rule their own kingdom. These are rebellious people who are offended, and they're angry for whatever reason. And that's one way that people fail to honor the kindness of God, by finding reasons to be offended, and finding excuses and finding reasons to be angry with God. And so that's something, if you're in that state, if you know someone in that state, I would encourage you to think and talk carefully about this problem. If you feel offended about Christianity or angry about something about the Christian faith, I encourage you to talk to me afterwards. I mean, I can't deal with everything in this one sermon, but if you don't want to be angry with God, if you don't want to be offended, talk to somebody about that. Talk to me, talk to a pastor about this. But if you're somebody who's just offended and you want to be offended, and you're angry with God and you want to stay angry with God, well, this parable is just warning you about the consequences, that there are destructive consequences to that path. Indeed, Jesus said that the king came and destroyed those who murdered the messengers. He didn't destroy everybody, but he destroyed the murderers, it says, those who were guilty of murdering the messengers. Were destroyed, and their city was burned. And so this is a warning. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But another way that people fail to honor the kindness of God is just presuming. You see, many of the disciples would have got what Jesus is saying so far in the parable and said, oh boy, watch out, those Pharisees are in trouble. Some of the Pharisees don't think they need Jesus. They think they're already righteous, and they're just ignoring Jesus. Some of those Pharisees are getting angry at Jesus. Watch out for what's coming for them, right? And that's what's happening in Matthew 21, the chapter earlier. Some of the Pharisees were getting angry when people were praising Jesus and were opposing Jesus to his face. And a lot of the disciples listening to Jesus would have thought, okay, I know Jesus is warning these Pharisees, but that's not me. I'm not angry with God. I'm not angry. I'm not a rebel. Well, the parable goes on to talk about other people who are invited and the persistence of God's grace is that he invites all kinds of people, good and bad people alike. And they come and the wedding hall is filled. Such is the grace of God that he is determined to fill his church. God is determined to fill his kingdom in his church. And so the wedding hall is filled. But the thing is, in the parable at the end, what happens? There's another guy there. And he didn't come prepared. It says there that the king went to look at the servants, and he found one without proper wedding clothes. And he said, friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. And there's a final judgment for this man, and he's kicked out of the wedding party. He doesn't get to stay in there with the feast. And so this is the warning about someone who is just presumptuous. And this is somebody who joins the crowd. He goes with others who are going to the banquet. He's joining the party, he thinks. And maybe he wants food. He thinks, well, this will be great. I'll get blessing. I'll get food. But he's not actually caring about the honor of the king because he doesn't even dress up. He doesn't even do what everybody else was doing in terms of preparing. He's just neglecting actually what would be pleasing to the king. And so if you think about this, this is an illustration. It's just a parable. It's an analogy, right? But it's an analogy that makes a point that there are some people who might want blessings, but they don't want to honor the king. And such a person is not prepared in the end. Such a person is actually failing to honor the kindness of the king because they're not actually loving the son. They're not wanting to honor the king. They're just wanting food or whatever. And so this is something that is, I think, an application to any of us who regularly go to church, regularly, you know, fit in with other Christians. If you're somebody who regularly goes to church and you fit in with other Christians, you know other Christian people, you might be like someone who comes to the wedding banquet and you say, well, I'm not angry with God. I'm not, you know, a big, obvious rebel. But do you actually desire to honor the king? Do you actually care about the king and his glory, or are you just trying to get blessings? I think that's where this parable would make us reflect. And so this parable of Jesus and the parable of the wedding banquet exposes to us, on one hand, the great kindness of God that is the overflow of his love. Not a kindness of indifference, but a kindness that cares and that wants us to celebrate what he cares about. To love what he loves. It's a kindness that draws us into the family. It's a kindness that can be in many ways rejected or ignored. But finally, this parable ends with a warning. And again, This isn't my idea. I wouldn't have ended this sermon with a warning, but that's what's going on here, right? In verse 7, there's a judgment that's an historical judgment. The city is burned, Jesus says. The king went and sent messengers, and they burnt the city. And this is alluding to an historical judgment that took place. This really happened. Jesus, later on in chapter 24, declared as a prophecy, Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time, right? In the city of Jerusalem, he said, "Not one stone will be left on another." Jesus prophesied about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and here the destruction of Jerusalem itself. The city would be burned. And so those who were most stubborn, those who were most angry with Jesus and most opposed to Jesus' kingdom, they would self-destruct and experience God's judgment in history in one way. But then as this parable continues, after that destruction, more people are gathered, more people are invited to come and to enter fellowship with the Son of God, and yet even then there's a final judgment. That final judgment is how the parable ends, because many are called, but few are chosen. Few are those who are actually in the right relationship with God. In the end, he talks about a weeping and gnashing of teeth. He talks about someone being cast out, and their experience of being cast out in the end, that is the final judgment. And again, why does Jesus warn us with such a stark picture? Why does he warn us? Because this is for us to turn, to take the kindness of God seriously. The point is that God won't let his kindness be taken for granted forever. God won't let his grace be abused forever. God will fill the banquet hall. God will fill his church. God will fill his kingdom. He is a God of abundant grace. But for those personally who don't actually love what God loves or care about what God cares about, judgment is inevitable. And so what is weeping and gnashing of teeth? What does that describe? It describes exactly what that father described in the Cats in the Cradle, right? In that song, there's just a sense of sorrow when he reflects upon the neglected opportunities he had, when he thinks about how he ignored the kindness of his son when he was little and ignored the opportunities to have a good and special relationship. That song, about the Cats in the Cradle, it's a song of sorrow because of neglected opportunity and neglected relationships. And what Jesus wants for us is not to neglect our opportunities. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today is the day to come to God and to have fellowship with God, to be part of the royal family, so to speak, to be blessed in union with Christ, to enjoy every blessing that is in Christ Jesus. What are the blessings that are at his banqueting table? He's called us to his banqueting table. What are the blessings at his banqueting table? I think of a song that we sang as a family yesterday. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. That's what God offers us at his banqueting table. Pardon from sin, forgiveness of sins, and a peace that continues throughout your lifetime. God's own presence to cheer you. God's own presence to guide you. Also, strength for today, to live today through hard times sometimes. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. That is great is thy faithfulness, is the hymn, right? That is what is at the banqueting table of God. That is what he offers to us in Jesus. Because Jesus died, giving himself as a perfect sacrifice, because he is the beloved Son of God. God is so well pleased with Christ that he wants to overflow such blessings to us. And yet if we just push Jesus away, in the end there's only regret, there's only weeping, gnashing of teeth. And so if we want to live a life also not just to come to faith but continue to grow in faith, we need to look at every opportunity to grow. Look at the opportunities that you have to invest yourself in God's kingdom. Look at the opportunities that you have to serve, whether you serve here at the Church of Bethesda in ministry with kids, in ministry with newcomers, in small groups. How can you invest yourself to grow deeper at the fellowship table? How can you invest yourself and not just put off the opportunities in the kindness of God? How can you continue to grow in taking the kindness of God seriously and looking to invest yourself in that? Make the most of every opportunity, the scripture says to believers. So let's pray right now and let's close. Father, we thank you for your kindness. And Lord, and in this parable, you have a good purpose to wake us up and to draw us close to you. And so I pray that you would keep us awake and keep us close to you and growing closer to you as we have opportunities that come from you. Help us to make the most of every opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.